On August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina struck the city of New Orleans, breaching the levees that kept the city dry. The resulting floodwaters inundated the majority of the city, resulting in over 1,000 casualties and billions of dollars of damage. Less than a month later, Hurricane Rita passed over the city, reflooding many of the same neighborhoods. The floodwaters washed through many of the areas of the city with known toxic hazards, shown here on this map with circles and triangles. The blue area of this map shows the area of the city that was inundated by the floods. Many of these areas with toxic hazards were located adjacent to residential communities. A survey conducted in 2000 found that over three-quarters of the public housing projects were located within 1 mile of one or more toxic dumps. The floodwaters also swept through areas of the city where the soils had been heavily contaminated from previous industrial or waste disposal activities. Examples include a former pesticide blending and storage facility, shown here in the top right photo, where an estimated 2,600 tons of herbicide-contaminated soil was covered with six feet of water. The Agricultural Street landfill, a federally designated Superfund site, was also flooded, along with the public housing project constructed on top of it. Both of these sites have been the focus of long-standing community campaigns for cleanup. Additionally, many of the residential areas that were flooded were well known to contain lead-contaminated soils from the use of leaded gasoline and lead in paints. Spills of fuels, industrial chemicals, and sewage also contaminated the floodwaters. When the water finally receded, the city was covered in a layer of sediment inches deep in some areas, left behind by the floodwaters. In some areas, the sediment was stained a dark color, as in these photos with obvious fuel contamination. In other areas, the risks were not so clear. In our ongoing conversations with local community groups and activists following the storm, many residents raised concerns about contamination and potential health risks from exposure to these sediments. The US EPA, in partnership with the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality, took samples of the sediment from all over the city and analyzed them for both organic and inorganic contaminants. However, the results of the sampling were not made available in a form that was helpful for answering the community's questions. The Natural Resources Defense Council scientists were able to fill this gap, conducting an independent analysis of EPA's data to evaluate the extent of contamination. As expected, there was widespread contamination of the soils with hydrocarbons resulting from the many fuel and oil spills. Also not surprisingly, areas of the older parts of the city had pockets of lead-contaminated sediment. What was surprising was the US EPA testing also uncovered elevated levels of arsenic. In fact, according to our analysis of EPA's data, 30% of the sediment sampled from the greater New Orleans area exceeded, in the months right following the storm, had elevated levels of arsenic, shown here on the map with red dots. These samples exceeded the state of Louisiana's cleanup level for arsenic in residential soils, which is 12 milligrams per kilogram. For comparison, the US EPA Region 6 Soil Screening Guidelines for arsenic in residential soils is 0.39 milligrams per kilogram. In January of 2006, the US EPA and the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality declared that there were no elevated health risks associated with the sediment left by the flooding and attributed the elevated arsenic levels to pre-existing contamination of urban soils. However, when we looked into the literature, we found very few surveys of arsenic levels taken prior to the flooding and none using the same sampling methodology that EPA used. To test this hypothesis, this theory, that the contamination of the sediment was due to pre-existing contaminated soils, we partnered with Dr. Howard Milkey, then of Xavier and now at Tulane University, to analyze pre-flooding soils for arsenic in New Orleans. Dr. Milkey is an expert on lead and soil contamination in New Orleans and has over the years amassed an extensive archive of soil samples taken from all over the city. Using spatial matching techniques, we were able to match the 70 sediment samples where EPA found high levels of arsenic after the flooding, shown here in this graph with red bars, the soil samples from Dr. Milkey's archive, which are the green bars. When we analyzed those sediments for arsenic, we saw a very clear pattern in which the soil samples taken after the flooding had on average 20 milligrams per kilogram more arsenic than the soil samples from those same areas prior to the flooding. We saw this pattern of contamination in each of the major flooded neighborhoods of New Orleans. As workers and residents returned to the city, there were multiple public health risks posed by the contaminant sediment. As the city dried out and cleanup efforts began, blowing dust was commonplace, posing a respiratory threat. Analyses of particulate matter found elevated levels of metals, including arsenic and chromium. In addition, people were exposed as they cleaned up surfaces and yards caked in sediment, as seen in the front yard of the house in the lower right-hand photo. Personal protective equipment, such as the couple in the top right photo are wearing, was unfortunately not the norm. Long term, the sediment posed risks of contributing to or resulting in the contamination of residential soils. Arsenic is a known human carcinogen, has also been linked to other serious health problems, including birth defects, cardiovascular disease, skin abnormalities, neurological problems, and anemia. In March of this year, we looked a little closer at the longer-term risk of contaminated soils in New Orleans by partnering with local groups to conduct a study to assess arsenic levels in areas of concern. These areas included residential areas where post-flooding arsenic concentrations were above the Louisiana cleanup level, as well as playgrounds and schools where young children come into contact with soils. We took surface-level grab samples at 116 sites located around the city with help from local organizations and Dillard University students. We found varying levels of arsenic in these samples. For 70 residential sampling locations, we were then able to compare arsenic levels taken in samples prior to the flooding, directly after the flooding, and 1.5 years later. The good news is that for the majority of those samples, the levels taken found after 1.5 years later, this past March, were very similar to the levels we saw prior to the flooding. However, elevated levels of arsenic were still found throughout the city. About 10% of all the samples we took during that sampling event had levels of arsenic that exceeded the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality's cleanup level for arsenic of 12 milligrams per kilogram. The majority of these samples were taken from playgrounds and schoolyards, raising safety concerns for children. The highest level we found in our sampling was 41 milligrams per kilogram in a residential location, which exceeds the acceptable cancer risk range for arsenic in soils set by the US EPA. For playgrounds and schoolyards, we don't currently know the degree to which these sites were contaminated prior to the flooding. Our study found little evidence to support the contention made by the US EPA and Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality that the arsenic in the sediment was due to previously contaminated urban soils in New Orleans. However, the question of where the arsenic originated remains somewhat of a mystery. Some potential sources include the following: leaching of arsenic from wood treated with chromated copper arsenate, washing of soils contaminated due to the use of arsenic-containing pesticides, or trash incineration, deposition of industrially contaminated sediments from the canals and Lake Pontchartrain, and leakage from industrial sites. A study by researchers from the University of Florida looking at the arsenic content of debris piles resulting from Hurricane Katrina, like the one in this photo, found a significant quantity of arsenic-treated wood was utilized in the flood-impacted areas. In fact, they found that nearly a quarter of the wood waste was CCA-treated and that an estimated 1,740 tons of arsenic were disposed of throughout Louisiana and Mississippi following these hurricanes. Regardless of where exactly the arsenic came from, the sampling conducted to date suggests that attention is needed to address the contamination to prevent long-term public health impacts. This study was limited in the scope and the geographic scope and the density at which we were able to take samples. Additional sampling is needed and further investigation should be conducted to better characterize the extent of current day contamination. Particular focus should be made to evaluate areas where children could be exposed, such as playgrounds and schoolyards. Public education about the extent of contamination and risks of exposure is needed as cleanup and redevelopment projects move forward. Community involvement is key to successful cleanup efforts, and resources need to be made available to enable cleanup in all impacted areas. The photo here on this slide is from a project conducted by the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice, where residents and volunteers gathered together to replace the top 6 inches of soil, put down new sod to ensure a safer redevelopment of the area. In conclusion, we found that the elevated levels of arsenic in the sediment left behind by the floodwaters in New Orleans were not solely the result of pre-existing contaminated soils. Instead, this contamination was a new potential environmental health risk that merits attention to prevent long-term public health impacts from ongoing soil contamination. The rebuilding of New Orleans needs the input and participation of all communities to ensure a safe and healthy reconstruction. The issue of arsenic-contaminated sediments and soils illustrates how the environmental health implications of a storm like Katrina are multiple, complex, and potentially long-lasting. Finally, there's much to be learned from the history of lead contamination in New Orleans. Prior to the hurricanes, nearly a quarter of inner-city New Orleans children had enough lead in their blood to be classified as lead poisoned and at risk for learning disabilities and behavioral problems. Rebuilding a healthier and more just New Orleans means identifying and eliminating soil contaminants such as lead and arsenic. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the work and contributions to this project by our local collaborators, Dr. Howard Milkey and Chris Gonzalez, for their work to help us evaluate pre-flooding arsenic concentrations, Dr. Lovell Aguarambo and his students who came out and helped us do some of the field sampling, Bryce White from the People's Environmental Center who assisted us with the sampling and logistics of doing the field work, Dr. Beverly Wright from the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice, Al Wong, Gina Salomon, and others from NRDC, and the funders who made this work possible. Here are a few websites and additional resources on soil sampling and contamination issues in New Orleans, as well as rebuilding and reconstruction efforts. Thank you.